Friends, family, wombats, thanks so much for tuning in today. You are listening to Wellbeing in Your Wallet, the one and only wombat-adjacent well-being podcast. If you're new here, thanks for giving us a shot, and I hope you'll share with your friends. We have another awesome one rocketing down the interweb pipes and into your podcast feed. We have a special guest joining today to talk a little bit about the trials and tribulations of today's home buying environment. But first, let me introduce myself. I'm Grant Gallagher, head of well-being here at Affinity Federal Credit Union. And next up is my co-wombat in well-being, who told me that homeownership is like a box of chocolates. If you don't keep it up off the ground, it's going to attract bugs. It's Sean Lubitz. Sean, why don't you say hi to the folks?
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me again, Grant, as always. For those of you who are new to listening to the podcast, my name is Sean Lubitz. I'm the Vice President of Retail Branching here at Affinity, and looking forward to our guests here today.
Thank you, Sean. And joining us today is our very special guest and one and only AVP of Mortgage Origination, as well as longtime mortgage and home buying expert, Carolyn Morgenbesser. Carolyn, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me today. This is my 40th year in the industry. May 5th makes my 40th anniversary of in the home buying mortgage industry.
And you decided to celebrate it by coming on the podcast, huh?
I did.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
I did. Happy to be here.
Will this be the highlight of your career?
Sure will.
Thanks for entertaining us.
Yeah, Grant gave me the esteemed pleasure of kind of kicking this off with an icebreaker today. So the icebreaker question I will pose to both of you, and I'll give some insight from my perspective as well, is if you could go back in time, would you make a different housing decision for yourself and or your family? This could be buying instead of renting or vice versa, buying a less expensive home, buying a different home at the time, et cetera. Anything you would have changed during your journey, Carolyn?
I probably would have bought, I live in a community, a planned unit development. I probably would have bought outside of a development and had a little bit more land.
Okay.
Like it.
You know, I think I probably would have bought a little bit more house. You know, I was a little bit more conservative, surprise, surprise, in what my budget was of what we could afford. You know, we're comfortable in our size house, but it's, you know, once my girls get a little bit older and we're not sticking them in the same room, it will be a little bit more of a challenge. But you know, again, it's if I had that crystal ball, I probably would have made a lot of different decisions in my life. How about you, Sean?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to have Miss Carolyn Morgenbesser with me through both of my homes, right? So going through the home buying process with her, it was made it that much more enjoyable and that much more less stressful for myself and my wife. But what I will say as far as the home itself, our first home, we had a good amount of property. I underestimated the amount of time it would take to cut the grass, right? So it looked good on paper. Yes, we have a big yard. We can have some, you know, some barbecues, get everybody out there. But the maintenance on the property was a lot more than I initially thought. So again, happy in our current home, but I think our first home, we would have probably purchased something with a little bit less property, or even potentially a townhome.
Yeah, that makes sense. That lawn is great when you're looking at it and it's all nice and pretty, but when you got to maintain it, not so much fun.
When you get a week behind and then you cut it and it's clumpy. That was the bane of my existence for a little bit. So yes, it's was not expecting all that.
I believe the song Welcome to the Jungle was actually themed around a lawn that was not properly maintained. Sean, you didn't take that as an opportunity for you to buy a ride-on mower? Because I definitely know some people that were like, yeah, this is the move.
It did, and that was the key. Again, thinking this is great, this is homeownership. You hop on your mower, you ride around, but it definitely still takes a little bit longer than you'd think.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, let's hop into our topic today. You know, today we're obviously talking about homeownership. You know, we want to help people understand what they can do to prepare themselves for homeownership. You know, is there a right time to look for a home? Is today the good time to look for a home? What's today's market look like? You know, and then how can you create homeownership well-being. You know, Carolyn, I'm sure you've heard many horror stories where people have bitten off more than they can chew and, you know, they're sitting in an empty house crying. You know, and then obviously there's ways that you need to prepare yourself for homeownership. You know, a little bit, we're going to talk a little bit about boosting your credit and avoiding debt and kind of just getting your credit in the right spot for homeownership. And on the flip side of that, that down payment, saving for a home, you know, how much you should save, is there a right amount, what you should focus on. So with that being said, we'll hop right into our main conversation. And, you know, Carolyn, I'll toss this over to you to get us started. What are the current trends and factors that you're seeing in the housing market?
So traditionally, springtime usually is the listing season when homeowners put their houses on the market to generate that buzz. School is ending in a couple of months. They want to be, if they have small school-age children, they want to be in the new home so that the children can start school in the new area if they're moving to a different community. I can honestly tell you that right now in this current market, 23, 24, there really is hasn't been a season. Homes are going up. And there's a myriad of reasons why, but the two main reasons I would say is if people refinanced 3 or 4 years ago, they're sitting on a 2 or 3% interest rate.
Yeah.
So even if they want to move or need to move, they're not going to want to give up that beautiful interest rate that they have because the homes are more expensive and the interest rates are currently trending anywhere from the high sixes to the mid sevens. So their payment would go up substantially. So inventory is a factor. It's getting better. We have seen some listings come on the market, not anywhere near years past. And again, I'm speaking from experience, many years of experience. So that's going to be a key factor, lack of inventory and the rates and the interest rate.
Yeah. One thing I've heard a lot recently is buzz around potentially, you know, our government stepping in to provide some sort of federal relief program to help motivate people to sell. And they're not hurting quite so badly from losing that low interest rate going to something that might be, you know, double or even triple what they're currently paying. From what you've heard from any of those programs, do you think it'll be enough to really get people out there and motivate the market?
Right now, all I heard is exactly what you heard. I haven't heard a bona fide plan. I don't know what it would look like. In 2007, when the mortgage market had that big bust, you know, they came out with the HARP and the HAMP program. It took them a year to come out with this program, but it was to help homeowners who were upside down in their mortgage, not refinance, but not fully refinance. That was the HARP program. So it was less costly so that they could get a lower rate. I don't know what that relief that they're talking about right now is going to look at. So I'm not comfortable speaking about it because until I have something in writing, I don't know.
Well, and we've seen that, you know, from the government perspective many times where they come up with an idea and it changes about 50,000 times before it gets to the finish line. So who knows what that could even look like or if it will ever come to fruition.
Exactly.
And, you know, with that being said, do we think people should wait to see if that sort of program comes to light before they go out and look for homes?
So purchasing a home in any market is a personal choice. Sometimes it's a necessity. Sometimes it's a want. My own daughter just purchased a home. Something came on the market. Would I have advised her to buy at these rates right now? I would not. But it was a property that they couldn't pass up. It had everything they could want or need. It's going to be their forever home. So they took a loan. They took a mortgage, knowing full well that in 2 to 3 years, we're going to be refinancing them to a lower rate when rates come down. It's all about the need, what you need. Can you stay where you are? In some cases, members are coming to me and telling me that, you know, their rent is going up substantially. So it's equaling the mortgage payment at the higher rate.
Wow.
So it makes sense for them to maybe look and buy something rather than pay rent of $3,500 a month. I mean, that's significant. It's substantial.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you bring up a great point where, you know, the option of refinancing is always there when rates do come down, when rates do improve. I mean, obviously nobody has that crystal ball and can say that definitively, but if we're looking at the rate environment over the last, you know, decade plus, it seems like it's a likely thing that to occur. Yeah. I mean, if you have to buy a house, or if you come across that perfect house that you're, you know, not going to get that chance, if you wait, you gotta jump on it. You gotta strike while the iron's hot. So, that's definitely good advice. You know, what are you seeing in terms of just how it's impacting the financial well-being of our members and their families? You know, I realize that this can be a very stressful environment to try to navigate. What are you seeing out there, Carolyn?
So I will say that there are still bidding wars going on. You know, we just recently had a member. She had a tiny little two-bedroom ranch. She listed it at $250,000, and the final sales price was $303,500. Wow. So people just came in. They said she had 50 showings in 4 days, which is unbelievable. It's final and best offer. That's what's being presented to the seller. So it's not technically a bidding war. It's just people are going in and saying, I can pay this much. It doesn't matter if the appraisal comes in for lower. I can make that difference up. I can lay out that cash. So one, that means that, in my opinion, that if the market ever stabilizes or evens out, people are not going to go be in negative equity in their homes like they did back in 2007, because the banks and credit unions are not lending more than the property was worth or appraised for. The homeowners are going in with that money knowing full well that they're overpaying for something, but they want it. And that's indicative of the fact that there's just not that much inventory on the market. So when something comes up and it's in decent shape, or it's, you know, meets their needs, they're going to pay what they're going to pay for it.
Sure.
So members are certainly affected by that. You know, we've had to have some very frank conversations with our members and say, you know, this is your limit. This is what you can afford. You can't go higher. Like we've pre-approved you for X, and you can't get into a bidding war. You can't go higher. You have to stay in this price range, because also people have to live. You know, it's an emotional thing purchasing a home. It's stressful. It's scary. It's exciting. But you have to think about the long term. So once you're in that home, are you going to be able to go out to eat? Are you going to be able to afford your commute if you have a longer commute to work, or if you're taking the train where before you used to drive? What about gas, electric, if the house has oil heat? These are all added expenses that people don't think about. You know, it's funny. I just had a conversation with the member. He's living with his parents. He wants to buy a home, and he feels comfortable spending $3,000 a month in a mortgage payment. He does not feel comfortable spending $3,000 a month in a mortgage payment after I had a conversation with him and said to him exactly what I just said about the gas, the electric, going out to eat.
Yep.
When you look at all of that, that takes up a lot of your take-home pay.
Yeah.
So you really have to be aware. Now, that being said, does that mean he's never going to buy a home? Absolutely not. What it is we've now set up a monthly call, and we're budgeting. We're budgeting, we're planning, we're figuring out, we're saving, because that's what we need to do.
Yeah. Would you say that that's really kind of the best approach to creating homeownership well-being, is just getting that full picture up front and having realistic expectations? Because I know a lot of people just kind of go online, they find a calculator, and then they're like, woohoo, I can afford so much more housing than I really can. And it seems like the traditional conventions of just using a percentage aren't really working anymore with the prices of things shifting so much. It's kind of like we start the conversation with, well, traditionally, blah, blah, blah. But then in reality, this is what we're dealing with right now.
So I just did a webinar, and I did the numbers on a $400,000 purchase price and a $388,000 mortgage in New Jersey, because that's where we're based. Although we lend in all 50 states, I always base everything out of New Jersey. And I did the math, and you need probably between 8 and 10% of purchase price to be comfortable, right? So for a $400,000 home, $40,000, and you're not going to have that much left over by the time you make a down payment, even if you're only putting 3% down, which is certainly an option for first-time home buyers. There's costs, there's title fees, there's your attorney, there's the bank, the credit union attorney, there's appraisal, there's taxes that you have to prepay. These are not considered closing fees, but there's still fees that you have to pay. It's the home inspection, it's the well and septic inspection. All of these things cost money. Most lenders don't tell you about it because, again, they're not considered closing costs, but it is outlay for the buyer. I'd rather have everyone prepared. People ask, one of the most often asked questions I get is, well, how much do I really need? And my answer is always more. Yeah. More than what you have. Whether you use it or not is a different story, but more. More is always better, because what happens when you move into the home? You're going to want to paint. Maybe you need new furniture or additional furniture. Where's that coming from? You don't want to buy a house and then start putting stuff on credit cards.
Yeah.
You would like to have... And listen, people do it and they're fine. For me, if I can prepare you and say, here's what I know you're going to need, now add an additional $5,000 in what-if funds, no one's ever going to get mad at me if they walk out of closing and have additional funds left over in their bank account. But if it's 2 days before closing and they're like, I'm short $5,000, they're going to be mad at me, and they'd have every right to be.
Right. So, Carolyn, could you just kind of walk us through what some of those conversations look like when you're talking to our members about what they can do to prepare themselves for homeownership? You know, what are some of the things they should think about? What are the things they should look at? You know, what can they do to just kind of get them in the best possible shape to jump into it?
So the advice I give most often to our members, basically anybody who asks me, is talk to a loan officer. That's your first step. Whether you're ready to buy now, 6 months from now, or 2 years from now, doesn't matter. It's a conversation. It costs you nothing. Just like we're having this conversation now, and people are going to listen to it, hopefully they find this useful. Mm-hmm. If you talk to a loan officer, we can break down numbers for you. We don't have to pull your credit, so you're not having a hard inquiry on your credit. We're not affecting your score. It's a conversation. One of the first questions I ask, what is your timeline? How long do you have left? Are you renting? How long do you have left on your lease? Some people come and say, listen, I just signed a 2-year lease. I want to be out in 2 years. Tell me how to make that happen. I always go back to personal story. When my husband and I wanted to buy a home, we needed to save for a down payment. So what did we do? We cut out the extras. I'm a huge Dunkin' Donut addict. I know that's not PC. Everybody right goes to Starbucks. You. I'm Dunkin' Donuts. I stopped drinking Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I stopped buying lunch. Every dollar I saved went into the bank in an account I named house account. Yeah. We didn't go out to dinner. It's little things, but they add up. They, especially now, we ordered a pizza the other day. It was $23. Well, I could make it for my own self then, and
Carolyn,
save myself
the $23. Ordering the gold flake pizza.
I know it was $23. I was horrified. It's just small. It's small things. It's small things. A lot of people ask, "Can I take a 401k loan to purchase my home?" Depending upon your 401k administrator, you absolutely can do that. But keep in mind, that's additional funds that are going to come out of your salary.
Yeah.
Your initial 401k contribution is going to come out, and then the loan payback is going to come out. But people do it. They check with their administrator. They're comfortable doing it. And that type of loan does not count in your debt-to-income ratio because it's your money.
Yeah.
So it's really not a bad idea if, again, you can handle the additional payment. It's looking at your credit. Like let's get into credit. You can boost your credit up. This is the perfect time to do it. Every year you're entitled to a free copy of your credit report. You visit annualcreditreport.com. I don't know if it has the score on. It didn't used to have the score on, but we don't really need your score right now. What we need is to see.
Well, the good news is all of our members can get their score for free, their FICO score, all through their online banking. So
that's true.
You know, even if, you know, you can get your score for free. There's lots of options out there, but, you know, we have a resource right for them.
But honestly, we don't even need the score. What we were going to have you look at is look at your information on those reports. Check for any inaccuracies or inconsistencies. It's data entry. This data is entered by human beings. Human beings make mistakes. Sears used to be one of the worst offenders. If you were a day late with your payment, they'd mark you as a 30-day late.
Wow.
Every time. So this is the stuff you're looking for, because this can affect your score negatively. But if you're looking to purchase a home in 2 years, you can fix that. And we have credit counseling companies we work with that can assist you, or we can give you some steps to take to do it yourself. Either way, There's no wrong or right way. Either way, you're being proactive and you're handling your credit. Another thing I always tell people is, if you carry a balance, and there's no judgment here, a lot of people carry balances on the credit cards, you never want to go over 30% of your credit limit. So if you have a card with the $1,000 limit, you don't want to carry a balance over $300. That's going to significantly affect your score.
Yeah.
Make your payments on time. I know it sounds simple, but that makes up a huge portion of your score. Don't open new credit if you can avoid it. Don't close any credit. Believe it or not, if you have cards and you're not using them, they're not hurting you.
Yeah.
It's just sitting there. They're not hurting you. If you start to close them, that will negatively affect your score.
Yeah. And so that's actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's one of the number one things that we always tell our members when they're thinking about doing anything with their credit. If they're going to close something, they should be talking to one of our credit counselors so they can really understand the broad picture, the broad impact. Because, you know, one of the things people don't think about is that oldest credit card that they have open could have a massive impact to their score if that's the one that they close. So they really need to understand the full impact and what can happen if they make, you know, small changes. And to that point, Carolyn, would you recommend that somebody who's getting ready to buy a house meet with a credit counselor to kind of understand their financial situation and what they should do?
They certainly can do that. They can also have a conversation with the loan officer, Depending on the severity of their credit, right? They might not need the credit counselor. They might just need a conversation with the loan officer. I'd start with the loan officer, and then we'll direct and guide you wherever you need to go.
That's a great point.
It's funny too, Carolyn, because as you're talking, again, I'm just thinking of my personal situations I've run into over the years, just with friends who are buying homes. I had a friend who was looking to sell his current home, buy a new home, and was using an online calculator that was giving him just principal and interest. And he's looking at it and he's like, yeah, I could afford this payment. And I'm like, yeah, the taxes on that house are $16,000 a year. So, you know, add, I don't know what that'd be, $1,200, $1,300 more a month. On top of that, on top of, again, homeowners insurance and all the other things that go into it. But he was starting to get excited and almost kind of went down that rabbit hole of getting frustrated of, you know, I don't understand why I can't afford this home. But again, it's something that most people, I think, just don't understand. They look at a home, they think about the mortgage only and say, I can afford that payment, but there's so much more that goes into it. And then the other piece too, I had a friend who was closing on a home. I think that the closing set for a couple of weeks out, and he said they were going to look at furniture. And I was like, oh, it's awesome. Like, yeah, definitely go look, go, you know, enjoy. I was like, but do not buy anything prior to closing on your home. And he's like, yeah, but they have a 0% interest, you know, for 24 months. I'm like, do not spend that much money. Even if you're paying cash, don't finance it. Even if it's at 0%, that's the last thing you want to do. To your point, prior to closing, you almost just want to freeze all of your finances, whether it be large purchases with cash or taking out any credit, no matter how small it might be. The last thing you want to do is have something like that impact you at closing.
That's 100% accurate. We had someone who went out and bought, they were moving from the city of New York into central New Jersey, so they needed a car. So The week before closing, they went and bought a BMW and signed on for a $700 payment per month. when we did the soft pull, because within 10 days prior to closing, we're going to do two things. We're going to do what's called a verbal verification of employment to make sure you're still employed. And we're going to do a soft pull on your credit to make sure you have not opened any new credit. When we did the soft pull on this gentleman's credit and found the $700 payment, it threw his debt to income qualifying ratio through the roof. He no longer qualified for his mortgage. I had to call him up and I had to tell him to go and return that car, which he did for a loss. He owed them money because, you know, when you drive off the lot, it's a problem. What I always tell members when I take their mortgages from now until date of closing, picture the devil and the angel on both your shoulders. And I am both those people. And just remember, what would Carolyn do? Because don't quit your job. And I know that sounds like I'm being insulting, but it's happened. It's happened.
That's solid advice most of the time is, you know, don't quit your day job.
Don't open new credit. Don't buy a car. And there have been instances where we had a member whose car broke down on the Garden State Parkway. Anybody who knows me, I don't like the parkway. So I felt for her. From the side of the road, she called the mortgage loan officer and said, my 2002 Honda something just died. And I'm pretty sure it's the motor and I need a car. I'm a nurse. I have to go to work. And he said to her, okay, I'll get off the side of the road. Call me when you're safe and we'll talk about it. And he told her the exact payment she could have so that it would not mess up her mortgage. We also collected all her loan paperwork so that we could provide it to the underwriter so they could re-underwrite her loan and approve her with this new debt she has to carry, because life happens.
Yeah.
And you have to deal with it and address it. We get it, but we want to do it in a way that's not going to break your bank or affect your mortgage.
I think that's important too, is just even from that story, just be upfront. You're not smarter than the lenders, right? You're not smarter than the credit reporting agencies. So just be upfront. In that situation, she could have went out, she could have bought something and hoped, hey, we're close enough to closing. Hopefully this doesn't show up on my credit report. But having the conversation, then being given that number, that's a better feeling when you're going car shopping, that you know you're still in a good situation. You have a budget in mind.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't try to hide, whether it be, you know, spending or credit. It's all going to come out, and probably at the worst time, right before the closing happens, which is, again, a nightmare. Nobody wants to go through that process.
Yep.
So listen to Carolyn.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Always ask yourself, what would Carolyn do?
Yes. That's what I tell people. That's what I tell them. Listen, conversation is king.
Yeah.
A phone call costs nothing. We're here. Our only purpose here at this credit union is to ensure our members get into a home financially responsibly. That's our goal. We never want to put you in a home you can't afford. We never want to put you in a home that's going to stress you out month to month. That's a horrible, horrible existence. We want to put you in a home where you're comfortable, where you can live, grow, and enjoy, and know that you made the best possible decision for yourself and or your family.
Yeah. I love it. Before we jump over to the member mailbag, I do want to get one more Carolyn opinion on what would Carolyn do in terms of a down payment. You know, how do you save for one? Is there a right account to put a down payment in? What are your thoughts there?
So we talked a little bit about, you know, giving up the Dunkin' Donuts or the Starbucks, not going out to eat. You know, every extra dollar that you can, just, you could put it in your savings account. You could put it, I had a little bit of savings. I actually think I had like $5,000. We put that in a 7 month or 8 month CD. And then, you know, all the money that we were not spending on food and coffee, and we just put that in a regular savings account and just forgot about it. We didn't touch it. And I bought my house 22 years ago, so homes were much cheaper then. And I understand that it's hard, but anything in life that's worth having is hard. So it takes sacrifice, dedication, and the desire to do it. And you know, we have members where we've been working with them for 2 years and they're ready to buy a home right now. Unfortunately, there's just nothing on the market. So I had one gentleman say to me, that's okay. We just keep saving. We just keep saving. I won't pull the trigger until you tell me it's a go. It's like, okay, great. You know, that's his philosophy. He's okay. He's okay where he is. He's on a month-to-month lease. It's not exorbitant. And he doesn't want to pay 6 or 7% interest rate. He wants to wait a little while. He said if something comes on and he really wants to have it, that's another story. But for right now, also don't forget we have the Home Advantage program, which we vetted realtors across the country. They give you back 20% of their commission. Let's say the commission on the home was $5,000. The listing agent would get $2,500. The selling agent, which would be your broker, the buyer broker, would get $2,500. And you'd get 20% of that, which I think is $500. But that would pay for your appraisal. That's another member benefit that you get just by being a member of Affinity.
And actually, one of the things that you mentioned that I would want to bring up, and I don't know if this is still true, but I heard there's a rumor that some institutions, if you keep your down payment in a CD and use that towards your mortgage at the same institution, they won't charge you a penalty when you're closing it out, even though it's earlier than the due date. So you're earning a little bit more interest and locking down that money while you're baking the mortgage.
This and Affinity correct. Happens to be one of those institutions. Yes.
Look at that.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, excellent, excellent advice. I appreciate all the knowledge you've dropped on us today, Carolyn. And I got a little bit more for you to give us some input on as we jump over to our member mailbag. Let's see here. So as a reminder to our listeners, if you have a question or a comment for our future member mailbag segment, you can send it to us at Affinity FCU on Facebook or X/Twitter with the hashtag member mailbag. All right. So today's question is, I'm recently engaged. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
And looking to buy a new home with my partner. What are the key benefits that Affinity's mortgage services have to offer? Are there any benefits to helping first-time home buyers? Well, as our guest of honor, Carolyn, you're
up. Yes, I'm very excited to do that. Sorry, I didn't mean to speak over you, Grant.
That's okay.
So right now, we're offering a $500 first-time home buyer rebate as long as you are a member and you have a checking and savings with us and you have your mortgage payment auto-deducted from your account every month. We have the Home Advantage program, which I'm happy to recommend a realtor to you. You can put as little as 3% down as long as you're both first-time home buyers. Affinity, although we do sell mortgages on the secondary market, it's a common practice. Most lenders do it. That's how they get more money to lend. We retain the rights to the servicing of the mortgage, which means your check will always be written to Affinity Federal Credit Union. That may not sound like a big deal. Let me assure you, it is a very big deal. Many people have come to us and say, my mortgage got sold. I sent my payment to the original lender. They sent it back. I'm now late on my mortgage because the new lender hasn't sent me a payment coupon or hasn't set up my loan yet. Or the original lender sold it. Then the second person sold it. And it becomes a long drawn out thing for the homeowner. So you'll never experience that with us. With us also, you're not a number, you're a person, you're a member, we're a cooperative. So we are here to serve you. We don't answer to a board. I mean, we don't answer to stockholders, we answer to a board of directors, but most importantly, we answer to you, our membership.
Yeah.
And the most important thing you just said there, Carolyn, too, because again, with the benefits from the finance side, right, and the cost savings, I would say the most important benefit you mentioned is having the partnership with our mortgage loan officers who genuinely care about doing the right thing by the member, understanding that every situation is different. So again, it's not a number on a piece of paper. It's understanding what's important to them and kind of being that guide through the process. Because again, going through the process a couple times now, I will tell you that it is so nice to have someone that you can call and just ask what you might think is a silly question, but there are no silly questions. And being comfortable with that person enough to give them a call and ask and communicate with them. That's not the case across the board with all loan officers at other institutions. So that to me has a tremendous amount of value as well.
There's always a person on the other end of the phone. Always. Okay.
Well, I think you guys nailed this. And for the first time in our 30 something plus episodes, I have nothing to add. So well job,
all right,
team.
We did it.
Thank you.
Know, I'll just hang up my headphones now. You guys can take the rest of the episode, right? You guys got this? No, I wouldn't do that to you.
No.
All right. So let's jump over to today's product spotlight. And in line with all the rest of the things that we've been talking about today, it's our mortgage products. So at Affinity, we make getting a mortgage stress-free and affordable with personalized guidance, no lender fees, an array of mortgage loans built to achieve your unique financial goals. Whether you are a first-time homebuyer or an experienced homebuyer, we have a variety of mortgage solutions and home buying tools to meet your financial goals. And as Carolyn mentioned, we have both the Home Advantage program and our first-time homebuyer rebate. So two huge benefits that will really work towards helping you achieve your goals. Our mortgage loan officers are ready and available to answer all of your mortgage questions, so please don't hesitate to reach out to us today. And you can visit us at affinityfcu.com and go to the mortgage section to contact a specialist. All right. So obviously we covered a ton of information on home buying, the current market, you know, what's going on, how to get yourself ready, how to not get yourself in hot water before you have that hot water heater. You know, what final takeaways do you guys have to share with our wombats? Carolyn, you want to take it home first?
I do. I just want to reiterate, a conversation costs nothing but time. And our only function here, again, is to assist you achieve your dream of home ownership. Call. It's never too early. Call, have a conversation, and start working towards your goal.
Yeah, to add to that too, again, we have the right people in the right roles here at Affinity, right? And I would stand by that. So if you're someone who prefers to have a quick conversation over the phone, we can set up an appointment with one of the loan officers for you over the phone. If you prefer to do it in person, I'm a big in-person guy, right? So I like to put a face with a name, at least initially. We can have a mortgage loan officer meet you in one of our branches, right? Whatever's most convenient for you. But
Sean,
I will
do we have branches?
We have a couple branches. We do. We have 21 now across New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut. Again, full of some amazing people, as well as our call center. Again, full of amazing people. And we have loan officers who are available through either channel. Again, so whatever our members prefer, we will make sure we work with them. And to tie back to what Carolyn said, anytime is the right time, right? So if you just have questions, but you know you're not in a position or have the want even right now to purchase a home, it's not a bad thing to reach out, start asking some questions, start to educate yourself on the process. It's only going to help you in the long run.
Yeah. Stop in, give us a call, whatever works for you. You know, we're here for you. So, you know, thank you again, Carolyn, so much for joining on today's episode. You are definitely our favorite mortgage expert, hands down, giving us some real actionable knowledge. And, you know, hope that you will join us again in the future when we have more questions about home buying.
Anytime you call, I'll be there.
Thank you, Carolyn.
All right. Thank you again for joining us today, Sean. And thank you very much to our well-being wombats. Just a reminder that if you have a question or comment for our future member mailbag segment, you can send it to us at Affinity FCU on Facebook or X/Twitter with the hashtag member mailbag. And, you know, we always appreciate when you write, rate, like, subscribe, all of those fun things, share with your friends, you know, share with your enemies. We'll take any listeners, you know, we're not picky. We just appreciate you listening to us. And of course you got to subscribe to get more well-being in your wallet podcast. So you can also visit on us at affinityfcu.com for additional information about financial well-being, as well as all of the wonderful Affinity products we talked about today. And as always, thanks for listening and be well.